Welcome to day 99 of the 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and I think we'll be concluding our study of the Lord's Supper today. We're looking at Westminster Larger Catechism, question 176. Wherein do the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper agree? Answer: the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper agree in that the author of both is God, the spiritual part of both is Christ and his benefits, both are seals of the same covenant, are to be dispensed by ministers of the gospel and by none other, and to be continued in the Church of Christ until his second coming. We'll look at the first phrase: the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper agree in that the author of both is God. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and so forth. The second phrase: the spiritual part of both is Christ and his benefits. Romans 6:3-4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or fellowship of the body of Christ? Both are seals of the same covenant. Romans 4:11, and Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Compared with Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Matthew 26:27-28, and he took of the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The next phrase: both are to be dispensed by ministers of the gospel and by none other. John 1:33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Hebrews 5:4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And to be continued in the Church of Christ until his second coming. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world or age. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Moving on to Westminster Larger Catechism, question 177. Wherein do the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper differ? We just saw how they agree. How do they differ? Answer: the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper differ in that baptism is to be administered but once with water, to be a sign and seal of our regeneration and engrafting into Christ, and that even to infants, whereas the Lord's Supper is to be administered often, in the elements of bread and wine, to represent and exhibit Christ as spiritual nourishment to the soul, and to confirm our continuance and growth in him, and that only to such as are of years and ability to examine themselves. The first phrase, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper differ in that baptism is to be administered but once with water, to be a sign and seal of our regeneration and engrafting into Christ. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 3:27, for as many as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And baptism is that even to infants. Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Acts 2:38 and 39, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Whereas the Lord's Supper is to be administered often in the elements of bread and wine to represent and exhibit Christ as spiritual nourishment to the soul. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And to confirm our continuance and grow him. For 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the fellowship of the body of Christ? And that only to such as are of years and ability to examine themselves. 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And that concludes our study of the Lord's Supper. We have some extra time here. Usually we try to go about 10 minutes per day, so I'd like to leave you with a few thoughts. First thought is that the coverage, the time we've spent on the Lord's Supper here, is second only to the time we spent on Jesus Christ himself. You look in the archive pages, we'll see we have some 6 days on the Lord's Supper. We have only 5 days on justification itself. So there's a lot of material here, at least in terms of the verses. But the interesting thing is that most of the verses that we read in the past 6 days have been basically from two passages, 1 Corinthians 11 and Matthew 26, or other gospel accounts. I would pose a question. Did the early church have the same idea about the Lord's Supper that the Westminster Assembly did? One thing to keep in mind is that the Westminster Assembly in the 1640s were coming out of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, and battling the Roman Catholic Mass. So when they formulated their doctrine of the Lord's Supper, they were trying also to make it more biblical and less of what the Roman Catholics had made the sacrament. And that's certainly laudable. The sacrament of the Mass is certainly very far different from what we read about in the book of Acts and in the early church. But my question would be, how far in the act of reformation, the act of reforming the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, did the Westminster Assembly go? One of the doctrines of the Protestant church is semper reformanda, always reforming. The church should never be content to say, well, we've done all the reforming we need, and now we're completely biblical, and no more reform is necessary. We should always be reforming. And so it's not too heretical to ask, did the Westminster Assembly, did the reformers themselves carry out sufficient or all the reformation that needs to be carried out. And I would suggest that maybe some more reformation is needed based on a look at some of these verses. Let's look at Acts 2. Basically Acts chapter 2, if the selected verses, there I've got it printed out for you. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all men as every man had need. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The picture I see in these verses is not one of a liturgical sacrament, but one of fellowship, one of a shared meal. One of the things we just looked at today is that the sacraments are to be administered only by someone who's a minister of the gospel and by none other. But if you look at the history of the church and the growth in Acts, Acts 2:41, we see 3,000 converts. Acts 4:4 and 5, we see 5,000 converts. Acts 5:14, we see multitudes of converts. Acts 7, the numbers are multiplying, and even lots of priests are becoming Christians. And it seems implausible to me, and some other scholars have said the same thing. It seems implausible to me that as these thousands and thousands of new converts were gathering, two or three are gathered in my name, house to house, that in every house and with every gathering there was a seminary-trained ordained clergyman administering the sacrament. It seems like that wherever they were, house to house, they were breaking bread and eating their meat, and it was a shared meal and not a liturgical sacrament or ritual. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or fellowship of the body of Christ? What is the body of Christ? It's the converts that you see in Acts. And that word communion is the same word in Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Communion, fellowship, same Greek word. 1 Corinthians 11, although we've looked at it many times, maybe we haven't thought about it, but it does say that as often as you drink it, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, it's like whenever you drink this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. And it's not something that's reserved only for a liturgical ceremony conducted by an ordained seminary graduate. Okay, now we've gone over 10 minutes, and we'll pick up tomorrow with a new subject, and we'll explain tomorrow which subject that is and why we're going in that direction.